Ricardo.
Oh,
Steve's willing to do anything once. That's how we'll start.
Twice if I like it.
Yeah. Hey. international break, everyone. I'm
home. Not even happy.
We'll do a brand new edition of the Swift Kicks podcast. I'm Alex. With me as always is Steve. Yeah. Yeah. It just is one. Steve and Nate are with me. Ben's off on daddy duty. Nate, I'm just going to dive right in here. Did you know Robbie Fowler is also coaching in Saudi Arabia in the second tier?
Whoa.
I thought the last time I heard that he was in Australia, and I might also be completely wrong on that, but that's a bummer. I mean, it's not a bummer for him. He's probably making some money. I think he was like a Liverpool ambassador recently too. Not for very long.
I did not know that. Is that a recent development? Is that just like a thing that's been happening for a bit now?
And he was aware of that.
About Robbie Fowler?
Yes.
I'm not sure when you took over.
Al Qadzia. It says 2023.
Mm. Yeah. Apparently a neighboring city to where Al Etifaki is.
With Gerard.
Yeah.
Stevie G, the Scousers.
That's interesting. I did not know that. But
June the 29th.
Nice. So very recently. I was just reading something here that if either of them get the boot in the next 2 years and goes back to England, then they get hit with a huge tax bill. So basically they have to not screw up for 2 years before they're in the clear on their money.
That they Gerard make. And Fowler?
Yeah. Which is different from the players. Awesome. The players are basically earning cash on hand.
Who's taxing them? England?
England would tax them. Yeah.
But they weren't paying.
I don't know. Just money made in foreign accounts.
Oh, okay. No, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah. Accounting 101, kids. Or no, that
would. Yeah. Well, aren't you the one in finance? Sort of.
I didn't go to school. I didn't do much math.
I didn't go to school to learn.
No. I ran.
Steve, how was your weekend?
It was good. I went to a Renaissance festival over the weekend.
I saw there were a couple of those going on. A friend of mine somewhere else was at a Renaissance festival.
It was cool. I had tickets to a whiskey tasting little session. Bunch of scotches on tap, and your boy got schnockered. So it was good.
A lot of horsepower in those.
A lot of horsepower in
this whiskey.
In that scotch, I tell you what.
They got that stuff figured out.
But no, it was good. Yeah, turkey legs, kettle corn, the whole nine yards. It was good.
Nice. Any old school football? leather.
It was some jousting. There was some jousting, but I did not see any old school. That'd have been sick, dude. I'd be front row on that.
We have ours coming up in November. It's just a good time. People watch. You're just there to people watch.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And you know what? I think like a big turkey leg and then what's the medieval metric measurement? A flagon.
Oh, yeah.
Meads
and ales and all that good stuff.
Yeah, a mead. This is a Renaissance podcast. The Renaissance Festival podcast.
Yeah.
I like that. Mix it up.
Meads and ales.
You guys this weekend's good.
Greek festival.
Greek festival. Renaissance Greek. We got it all here. Fun.
I told you, I wish I had worn my Giorgio Samurai shirt. I don't have one. I do plan on getting one for next year. All the old heads will love me.
You have to be digging pretty deep to find one of them jerseys.
That classic football shirt website.
That you had the foresight to buy a jersey, like.
I know.
There was a jersey that you wish you had when you were younger, and then when you think back as an adult, you're like, dude, if I'd have gotten that shirt and kept it nice looking.
So I'm going to tell you before we actually get into the podcast, the two jerseys that's happened to me with. The first one was a Bayern Munich Thomas Müller jersey from 2010, 2011. That's when I was living with my parents. My mom threw it in the dryer. Not her fault. Done. Ruined. Second one, Podolski, a Podolski 2006 Germany shirt. It had been left folded in a bin when I had moved. It had been in there for like a month. It was a little warm. Got sticky. I like even right now, I'm getting like a pit in my stomach talking about it. It hurts. I still have the Podolski one in there because I'm like, I want to refurbish it someday. That's never happening. But it's not. Okay.
I have a 2006, 2007 Real Madrid jersey with Zidane on the back. It was the season after he had retired, but it was in the font of obviously like that season's. So it's kind of like an homage thing. Yeah. I got it long sleeve.
Oh,
and I got it in a medium, which would fit me like now. But for some reason, the medium's back. Maybe perhaps it just went in the dryer a few times too many. But it's just too small to the point where it's like, I can't really wear it. But man, if that, because I've kept it nice. I've kept it nice to like perfection. But it's just.
It hurts.
It's too small, but I still hold on to it. It's a nice looking top. That was like back with the old Teamgeist. It was the same template that the 2006 World Cup jersey.
Oh,
had
that little thing
where they carried them over. Yeah. Like Liverpool had the collar bit added to.
Yeah, I had that. I had that shirt. It's a Giro shirt. It's a little too small.
I think those.
It's the European really nice. Cut now.
Yeah. Bro, it is the all right, a large and a large over here. Let me tell you
that. It's a little tight in the mid rift. Nothing to do with the college education.
No.
A 1998 Zidane France shirt, and then a 2002 Japan shirt with no number on it, but it was Japan Adidas.
Are you
kit.
Saying that you bought these and or you wish you bought these?
No, I had these.
Had.
And,
oh,
yeah. And your man got a little tall. And yeah, you just kind of go, you know, it was a 13, 14, 15. You're like, whatever. Get rid of it.
Yeah, I know, right? You like, I'm not going to wear this anymore. It's too small. But then like, you get older and then just like, dude, if you had a 98 of like.
That's cool. You know what was it? In Japan? What was the other one?
It was a 2002 Japan shirt. It was just a blue Japan shirt, but for some reason, like it just felt like it felt rare.
The Japan shirt from this World Cup is beautiful.
So nice.
You can only buy the long sleeve from Japan for $250, not including shipping.
Jeez.
And I've had it pulled up on my laptop multiple times. Like, all right. Like, what will we not have to do this weekend in order for me to buy this Christmas?
I can't believe you had in your possession at one point in time a 98 France World Cup kit with Zidane on the back.
Yep. And I went to France.
I would have bit your arm off for that.
I went to France that year and remember being this is so random. I was at a rest stop. So, you know, it's France, so you had to pay for it. And you go pee.
Oh yeah.
And I come out and this guy just goes, Zizou. And I was like, this jersey is the coolest thing ever.
That is so cool.
Yeah. That was when my life peaked.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm telling you, I'm looking at it. There's no Samaras jersey on here, but guys, you could very easily roll back the years for one low price of £199. But you can do it. There's a lot of good stuff on here. I think I've sent this link before, and I'll do it again.
What shirt were you quoting?
I just looked at Greece shirts. The only personal one is a player I don't recognize. But I've found the shirts that have been ruined. I found them on here and been like,
gotcha.
Could do it.
It's strange because there's been like a lot of like. This is the last thing I swear we'll talk about in those shirts.
I'm loving it, nothing else going on
in real life.
the market for those type of like replica shirts from not replica like to like a jersey like a current jersey replica jersey, but I mean like an older jersey replica.
Yep.
That market hasn't start has that market's not always been around. It's only really started like in the last, what is it, 2020? It's 23. So I'd say that maybe the last 5 years tops. Like you can find the 98 Zidane jersey, and it's not like a knockoff. It's got like the Adidas symbol. I'm super curious because you can't find like on their website, but I'm super curious like what the tags look like. Like who's making this, where they're able to make this? Because you see people, I see people walking around. They're kind of common.
You see that little Adapure, that little Adapure tag at the very
end. Yeah, I'm like super. The nerd in me wants to like, yo, what did the packaging look like? The tags, the back of the neck tag, like what? Because Adidas isn't advertising that they're making this. So you're getting this from somewhere that I don't know about, or this is not authentic. Like this is counterfeit. You know what I mean? And I've always wondered. Because you see shirts like that, but it's really only the France 98 ones. I haven't really seen like, you know, like Ronaldinho of 02 or like, you know, I'm trying to think of like other jerseys that would be quite.
That would be a good one. Wait, that was
like when Ronaldo, the screen, right? Yeah, no, Ronaldinho. Ronaldinho 02 or like Ronaldo 98. I mean, yes, they didn't win, but like Ronaldo 98 would be another like iconic kit that you would see. But I really only see the France 98 Zidane ones and nobody else, like no Henri Trezeguet. Like there's no, it's
yeah. There's no Trezeguet 2002. Like there's no,
yeah, there is a Trezeguet 2000 though.
Yeah. Trezeguet 2000 was the peak. The one shirt I wish I did get was a Brazil 4-star jersey.
Yeah.
And you know,
I don't know why
this conversation.
You know, I love that they have 5 stars, but 4 stars would be just rare. That would be like the ultimate kind of throwback.
This conversation, I exercised knowledge on or like hindsight on this, and during this past World Cup, I bought both a Messi and Ronaldo Portugal and Argentina top for this past World Cup. So 2-star Argentina shirt, and
I want that. Ronaldo. So let me ask you, is there a differential on quality? You know how we were talking about a couple episodes ago? It's like one shirt these days will be like 180, one's 100. Is it all flat?
Yeah,
I think it's a price for international, right?
No, it's not. You're thinking about replica and authentic.
So is it all one price for like the Messi jersey? Was there like a higher price one versus a lower?
So a replica jersey nowadays, depending on the brand, but a replica jersey now about like $100. Used to be like 90 a couple of years ago, but I think it's now about 95, maybe $100 is a replica. An authentic jersey, and this is not, we're just going short sleeve. Long sleeves are higher.
Yeah.
Short sleeve, replica, we'll just say it's $100. Short sleeve, authentic is probably about like 110, 120, maybe 125. And then variables of like what player, if you are you getting a player on the back or are you getting it long sleeve? I've seen like long sleeve authentics with player on them anywhere from like 150. This is just like regular, like 150 to like 160, 170.
That's too much.
Dumb. But I will say I have a few kits in authentic. I've had the authentic and I've had the replica, both of the same exact kit. And the difference is considerable. The difference is very considerable.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I mean, most of my experience goes with Adidas ones, not so much Nike ones, but the Adidas ones are like, you know, they're made with the Adi Zero Knit. This is 30% lighter, and there's nothing there's no embroidery. It's all screen printed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a bit more of an athletic, like tailored fit versus kind of like the baggy. And there's different things that like the knits are just all different. Like you'll see collars have completely different trim on them on the replicas than they do the authentics. The cuffs on shirts and the cuffs at the bottom of the shirts on the sleeves and whatnot all will be most times are different. They're very much two different shirts when you're holding them up side by side. Is it worth that difference? Difficult to say. If you can get it on sale at the end of the season, I think that's good. But they feel nice. To have one authentic shirt and just to kind of like know what that feels like, they do feel nice. I would much rather wear an authentic shirt than a replica shirt. But
yeah,
when I wear I'm like more on pins and needles. I'm like worried about like, don't touch me. No stains. Like,
my Charlotte FC one is the more expensive one. And it's one of my favorites. It's so light and it's airy. But it's also like when I go into an area, a bar, I'm like, if any of you chuck your beer in the air.
Yeah.
Get that righted cocktail away from me.
Yeah.
Like, if that goes up in the air. Like, I'm sorry, that's going to happen. Yeah. It's too expensive. But I like the splurge.
Yeah.
Get that vodka crayon out of here.
that is literally, whenever I see that in a small little, and when the person is always flinging around like this,
okay.
I'm like, all right. I need you 10 people away from me. And then now we're
on a vodka crayon.
Half the time I'm the culprit. I'm the one like spilling on myself or doing something stupid. I'll lean up against something and you get a pull in it.
Oh, I have pulls in someone. Yeah. Mm. Mm. What are you going to do?
What are you gonna do?
Yeah, we randomly brought up Ronaldinho. Did you guys see him at a charity match this weekend, juking out a pitch invader?
Yes, it was. No. But he also had like a cool moment during the game.
Perfection.
Too,
he almost scored.
Yeah,
that sounds like the kind of content I'm here for.
That guy's
Ronaldinho still got it going.
He's had a very interesting post-career and very kind of end of his career. Like being in Mexico.
Yes.
Who added that guy? Yeesh.
Yeesh.
That was Ronaldinho.
That was a strange course at that career. That
was Ronaldinho.
Yeah, he was a Querétaro. And then he entered Paraguay illegally.
I remember.
Passport. And they were just like, oh, here's the prison you'll be in for a little bit. By the way, it's going to be great for you. We're going to play soccer all the time.
I remember that.
Yeah. Interesting guy, though. Legend.
Yeah, dude. After AC Milan, just the.
Speaking of that, I would love that. Like, talk about long sleeve shirt, Steve. A long sleeve Ronaldinho AC Milan shirt. And that year, it also had a collar. So
yeah, it did.
And then what was he? 80? One. What was his number?
Yeah, he was 80. He was 80.
Oh, dude. If you, what would you do if you saw that walking around on the street? You got to go up and you got to say, good for you for owning that.
Like, I did a little bit of a silly one. I found probably a year or so ago at work, I found an AC Milan. So obviously this is not at the time when Ronaldinho was playing for AC Milan, but I found an AC Milan short sleeve home kit Puma from 2000. I can't remember what year, but it was after he'd gone and when they signed with Puma. So I think the Puma development's only been the past maybe like 5 years tops. But I found the print. I found the decals from the time. Mm-hmm. Back when he was there, and I found the Ronaldinho one, and I found the 80 AC Milan like font print, and I put it on the back of the shirt, and I made it.
Dude, you're a craftsman.
I printed it on the back of the shirt, so it kind of looks a little silly because like you.
How'd you do that? Did you put it on with one of the
screen print? No, screen print. We have.
Oh,
print.
Okay. Nice, dude. That's so cool. Oh.
So I was did the whole thing to myself. And dude, I found, so we get, so at work, we'll get in, we get a lot of different shirts that come in from the pub. Well, we get donations from the public, that go to like this thing. It's called Passback. And we distribute like soccer equipment to like different communities and whatnot in need and stuff like that. And a lot of shirts will come in from the public from all different corners of the United States. Some of them are really old. People clean out the closets. Some people are like, you know, new stuff where the kid just grew out of. And some of it's like everywhere in between there. I saw a Brazil jersey come in, an away white Brazil jersey, number 10 on the back. The name was Master Binho.
Wait, it was an AC. Wait, what was the club?
No, it was Brazil. It was just the Brazil national team. It just says Brazil national team number 10, Master Binho on the back.
Wankinho. That's awesome.
We didn't donate it, but we saved it. Actually, it's on the back of a desk chair.
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing.
It was a good one. It was a good one.
That's awesome.
Wow, he's looking different. He's got the grays coming in at the,
he looks good. Dude, I think he's actually lost a few since he was last.
Oh, really?
In the paper. Yeah, I think he looks pretty good. Good for him.
I was thinking he had a little bit of a gut. I didn't see him in a while though.
No, he's not. Which is fine. Let him live. Have some fun.
Yeah, for sure. You look at guys like, was Rivaldo happen to be in that game by chance? Anybody who was maybe watching?
I know that. I think Ronaldo also recently, R9 was recently in the game. I mean, we all know he's a, you know.
Yeah. But Rivaldo, I brought Rivaldo because Rivaldo's still like, he's quite fit. That dude is like.
Oh, is he really? Oh, good for him.
Yeah, I think Rivaldo, I saw a photo of him today actually. And I think he was with R9 and.
He's the longest retired too. He's been out of. R9, Ronaldinho, that whole class.
He had the longest career. I think he kind of took care of himself a bit more than perhaps everyone else did. It's like when Ronaldinho got to like what? What he left Barcelona in 2008 and then went to AC Milan. And like at AC Milan, he was still like, he was all right, but you could see the powers were waning. And then like for some reason, like once he got on the wrong side of like 30.
Yeah.
It was like 30. I felt like it was like 30. And then it was just like downhill. And there's some players, I don't know. I would love to see like a, what do you call those type of studies? Case study or something like that on like the people who can like really prolong their careers, like a Luka Modric or, you know, anybody of that nature who can play like mm-hmm. to that level for that long versus somebody like Eden Hazard,
who that's a great comparison.
It's completely yep. fault. Like was at the summit of world football.
Yeah.
And then like just yeeted off of it, like didn't even like
completely down. He missed the side.
He missed the checkpoints. He went to ground zero. It was peak, then ground zero. I don't know what happened. And I would love to see like a case study. Is like, you know, how much is like diet or like what are they doing in their off time?
I think that's what they said is that his. And if you listen to clips of players he played with at Chelsea, he'd show up to training, not give a shit. People would be like, "What's your problem?" On the weekend, he goes score a hat trick. And they're like, well, I mean, so what, you know. Yeah, you know,
Chris would say the same thing about him at Real Madrid. It's like, he doesn't train well. But then, like he got so far in his career by being able to not train well, but turn it on in games. And then when he got to, like, 30, his body changed.
Yeah.
And he didn't change. And then everything just kind of caught up, and it just kind of snowballed, it seemed. But – how do I know? I mean, that's just my hypothesis.
No, I think you can armchair quarterback Eden Hazard pretty easily. I think we all saw how good he was, and then just you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah, Alex, you are not muted.
Can't hear you.
I cannot hear you. Haven't been able to hear you for a long time since before the Ronaldinho video.
It's kind of a good thing. I think I'm kind of
like this.
Alex, you're good, man.
Oh yeah. Yeah, sure.
Oh,
yeah,
here it is.
Just go away. Yeah, whatever. Eden Hazard, the Allen Iverson of the Premier League.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I can agree with that.
Did you guys see Paul Pogba?
Let's talk about Pogba.
I forgot that Pogba, guy played
a man whose career could very well be over. apparently, reportedly, is considering just straight up retiring after he tested positive for testosterone. Yeah,
reports in
ESPN. He's considering it. Pogba tested positive for testosterone on Monday, according to Italy's anti-doping agency. Came after a game on August 20th, and he wasn't seen, or rather, he was not in that game as a player. He was on the bench the whole time. So I guess double terrible day for him. Sat on the bench and then got caught doping. But anyway, now faces a potential four-year suspension. And what's his age, Steve? I feel like you know.
He's 30. He's 30.
Yeah. Yeah. So coming up to 34 years old. No club football. I would assume no.
Dude, there's no way that gets upheld. That's just like the scare. That's like the scariness of like the initial.
So what I've read is that they're obviously they're going to take another sample. I think they took two samples and they're going to make sure the first one wasn't a false positive. If he's considering retiring, that doesn't really speak very well for his innocence. I mean, if he's come out and said, I'm done, like, you know.
Dude, I'm trying to – where did you see that? FotMob Twitter?
No, that's CNN.
What?
Daily
Paul Bogdan said that he's considered retiring from professional football because of the alleged organized armed extortion attack. Oh, wait, this is different. Hold on.
Newsflash, breaking news.
I'm going to put fake news in the bottom ticker.
It is because of extortion. Remember Paul
Yeah.
P and
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. I forgot all about that.
So let's read and learn together, shall we, kids?
Yeah, let's do it. Said
he's considered retiring from professional football due to an alleged organized armed extortion attempt against him, which involved his brother. Last year, investigation was opened into allegations that Juventus and France midfielder was the target of an extortion plot by his brother, Matty P, and childhood friends demanding 13 million euros from him. He spoke to Al Jazeera's Generation Sport and said that the case played a part in him wanting to quit football. Okay, so like he wanted to, but he didn't. All right, never mind. Not as bad as we thought it was. Anyway, so I lied about him wanting to quit football because of the doping allegations. It was because his brother is a douche. And he didn't actually do it. So instead, he went out and took some testosterone, apparently, and could be out for 4 years anyway.
That 4 years was a real thing, though, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. Well, we'll see. It seems like he's been out of the game for 4 years anyway, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nate, from your understanding, is it 4 years from Italian football or 4 years?
Dude, from my learned experience, I see things like 4 year ban from football because I think that could also be a UEFA ruling. Well, then maybe outside of UEFA could be a nice segue into Saudi Arabia.
MLS,
honestly, it could, or shit, MLS definitely. But dude, you think about how you know hoity-toity we are over here about that stuff too. I mean, we'd have to be, you know, we don't tolerate that stuff over here either. So, you know, I don't know.
I could see him fitting pretty well into an LA Galaxy shirt.
The large is a little larger over here. He won't look as big.
No.
So if he's been juicing, if he's getting saucy.
Juicy Jeter.
He won't look too bad.
Come on, Paul.
It would probably be Saudi Arabia over. Actually, I don't know, man. He does a lot of like weird stuff with the NBA and like NBA players on like socials and shit and stuff. So I don't know. But I could see it going either way. Saudi Arabia. I'm actually surprised he didn't go. I bet you if he had been playing and fit in the lead up to this Saudi revolution, he would have been gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nope.
How unfit would he have to be to not go though? I mean, like, hey, I've got a slight strain.
That's
keeping me out for a month. They'd be like, okay, cool. That's cool. Okay, come on over, start training. I mean,
he's been what not fit for as soon as Juventus got him at the beginning of Oh God.
I can't remember the last time I've seen a highlight from Pogba.
Yeah. Yep.
I think that behind the scenes that this whole extortion thing has played a huge.
Probably not great with the mentals.
It's like one of those things, you know, like the Dele Alli thing. People are like, wow, he's, you know, flying at Tottenham, and then just kind of started falling off. And I was like, oh, yeah. All right. And then just the world keeps spinning, and you kind of get forgotten. And you just look at, he's a kind of forgotten name. And then it comes out, he's like, oh, yeah, all this stuff I've just kind of been dealing with. And everybody's like, oh, whoa, we didn't know that. Yeah. And, like, we know about this extortion thing with Paul Pogba, but I bet you it's playing a bigger role than we might think, you know. That's family.
Yeah, it's definitely.
That's not just like some criminals. That's some criminals who also happen to be your brother.
Right. You're at the Thanksgiving dinner table.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation. I mean, I don't know. Part of me says the MLS should just embrace it and just become a fully supportive of the big, like, just anybody who's doping should come to the MLS. We can have the most jacked, like,
you can call the Barry humans. Bonds clause.
Yeah, we'll accept anyone. Let's see what the human body can do.
No.
Steve's whispering to himself.
No, I own one baseball card, and I can't remember now if it's Barry Bonds or Sammy Sosa.
He's reciting incantations under his breath.
I was saying both those names to myself, trying to see if it jogged a memory, and it didn't.
Say it in front of the mirror 7 times. You'll think of it.
But it's framed.
Either one of those, great card.
Yeah.
I got it when I was like 10.
Report back next week, and maybe for Christmas we'll get you the other one.
With all of our, with our excess our money we have from,
100%,
yeah.
You know what's funny? I saw a tweet. This is so random. That was like, if you uploaded a video that's 30 seconds long and then had a phone that watched it 24/7, you'd earn like $1,300 a month.
Hey, nah, they catch on to that because they check on the IP addresses and stuff like that.
I'm gonna try it. I'll report back.
I guarantee
it's just gonna be Swift kicks on loop.
They'll flag you. They'll flag you.
They'll never catch you.
Yeah. Did you guys see the U.S. men's national team against good old Uzbekistan?
They played tonight.
No,
they're playing right now, actually.
Yeah, old man.
Let's tune in. Hey, let's just put the game live on the podcast. What's the worst that could go wrong?
That was funny. That was a good one.
Thank you, Steve.
Balogun up top. Pulisic on the wing.
Pulisic did not have a good game against Uzbekistan.
I couldn't watch. I was out. Couldn't do it.
It was. It started off hot. 3-4 minutes in, McKenny and Tim Weah.
Mm-hmm.
Looking nice. And then for about 88 minutes, it was terrible. And then they scored 2 goals at the very end in extra time at the end. And that's how it ended. So on the score sheet, 3-0 looks great, but it was not a great game. There was at one point where Uzbekistan almost leveled. Bearhalter ball is back for sure.
With no disrespect to either of these countries, and I believe they're ranked in the 70s. So in terms of I think there's, 200 countries in the world? Is that too high? I don't know. Something around there. Not bad. But why are the friendlies that we're playing not against maybe – doesn't even have to be CONCACAF. What about African teams? What about a team in the CONMEBOL? That would be nice. Let's play Latvia. I think Latvia is in qualifiers. But I don't know. I didn't agree with the choice of teams. Maybe this pickings were a little slim. But I don't – Uzbekistan and Oman. I've just looked at the Omanese lineup. I don't know anybody. And I think one player on Uzbekistan plays in Italy, from what I heard, but I don't think he plays. So not a lot of competition going up against.
I mean, you got to say the next match is up against Germany. Next international break.
There we go.
You know,
there
it comes around. That's a game that you want to schedule. But I agree. I mean, I think you were saying before the podcast that Germany, you know, was, what were they? They were playing a Japan? Question
mark? Yeah, they lost. I think they won today. I forgot against France, but they lost to Japan. Yeah. They got absolutely blitzed by Japan.
Yeah, in October, U.S. plays Germany and Ghana. So
an old rival in Ghana. Mm-hmm. That's what I like. And then Germany. Perfect.
Yeah.
I bet you we lose both.
Yeah. The Germany game's up in Connecticut, and then the Ghana game is in Nashville. So I don't know so anyway, U.S. men's national team. The new reign of Berhalter was very similar to the original reign of Berhalter. Nothing really changed too much. And all they could talk about on, what is it, TNT Sports that does it now? Turner Sports? TNT Sports?
Yeah.
All they could talk about was 2026. They were like, man, this Uzbekistan team is hoping they're going to make it to 2026. And
yeah,
like,
they're just lauding. This team from Oman is so much better than them. I'm like, okay, shut up.
Yeah. Anyway, U.S. men's national team.
I am... go ahead. Sorry, continue.
No, you go. I'm done.
I was reading something about, I thought it was kind of interesting, about there's a coach. There was a first team coach who was at United the entirety of the time from when Cristiano Ronaldo signed in 2003 to when he re-signed in 2021. Hmm. And has recently come out and kind of given some of his thoughts on why perhaps the Ronaldo 2.0 didn't go so well. And I think he put it in pretty easy to grasp terms that surprisingly nobody else has. Basically saying that the Ronaldo that came back was a stronger willed and more opinionated person perhaps. And when he came back, that Ronaldo quickly kind of came to the conclusion that the standards had dropped quite a bit since he had left left United in 2003. And so he had massively high standards and it was terrific to work with, but I'd probably say a tougher mindset. He had been at United. He had been at Portugal, ever present. He had been at Madrid. I liked it because he didn't want his standards to drop. He wanted other people's standards to come up. Sometimes you lose a few people along the way when that happens. I remember certain times when he pushed and pushed hard and he didn't get much of a reaction or much response, and there was frustration. He probably realized, and I don't know as I never had that conversation with him, that he couldn't do it at Manchester United, so his challenges were elsewhere. I think that was pretty well illustrated on the field, honestly. You could see that there was frustration, and it was like it never really got much of a response out of anybody kind of like around him, and he's just like,
yeah.
It looked like to us he was just throwing tantrums.
Yeah.
But like he was just like, "Yo, what is like this is not what it takes to be the best, and you guys like none of you guys are even trying to be the best."
I think the reason we thought there were tantrums is because of the Ronaldo. I'm a messy guy. Ronaldo's still an amazing player. It's just the Ronaldo attitude that we know. That's an attitude that got him to be the best, right? Demanding the best. That, you know, United was in a very tough time. Obviously, Ronaldo is on his down curve. So I just always kind of thought it was just. Do you remember in the World Cup or the Euro when he had that amazing goal? And remember Nani? Nani was in the goal.
Yes.
Put it in.
Yeah.
I don't know why I just mentioned that. Just maybe of the most.
He was upset.
upset is a light word there. I would have been pissed too. Oh my god! Maybe he did like a fake Rabona and chip the keeper or something like that. I mean, oh my god!
I don't know what he did, but all I know is he was mad.
But I just, that's very humble from him. If that's someone telling that story and that's true, that's some humility that we have not, I don't know if we've ever seen from him. So good that on you, dude.
From former United assistant coach Mike Phelan. And it also prefaces the whole article by saying United had beaten United had beaten local rivals Man City to Ronaldo's signature in that summer. Imagine with me for a moment that City does secure that signature.
Yeah. They don't get Haaland.
Regardless of like what the fans would have been saying, you know, about, you know, you don't care about United, all of the fallout that would have happened, United versus City, whatever. Mm-hmm. What do we think the on-pitch performances would have been like from one, a City point of view, and two, a Ronaldo point of view? City, what did they finish in 2020? So this was summer of 21, is that right? Summer? Yes.
Yeah.
Summer of 21. So season of 21-22. Who...
Yeah, that was that pretty sure we finished. Yeah, we finished. Nope. I thought that was us. We were 2020. We finished second, I think, by a point.
Oh, is this where City? So City, yeah, City won it then. Yeah. You're right. Yep, I remember this now. So City wins it by a point. Does City still win it with Ronaldo?
In
that struggling
scenario, I don't think he's ever signed. I think Pep from the get-go is like being informed that we are baiting United into signing this guy. Yeah, I don't think that's a Pep player. I don't think it is.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think it was weird that he was rumored to begin with, but it seemed like it was kind of advanced. That could have been all just like a media ploy just to try and get, I don't know, but I agree. It does seem out of character for Pep to sign someone that old. He was 36 at the time. And during that struggling season at United for 21-22, Ronaldo still scores 24 goals for United that season.
Yeah.
That's struggling, out of favor with Erik ten Hag. A lot of frustrations with the club of United. So in somewhere in City.
It was with Ralf Rangnick.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
Score.
And then, but then Ten Hag came in for part of that season, did he not?
Yes.
Yeah, the very end.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was, yes. And then coming into the new season under Ten Hag, and then really didn't like it. And they just tore up the contract like World Cup time. I bet you his goal tally 21-22, which was 24 at United. If he'd have been signed at City, I bet you he would have been higher than 24. I think he would have played a fair amount.
So whose spot would he have? What did they play? It's a 4-3-3.
I think Jesus was still.
Was he?
Jesus, Gundogan. Wasn't that a season? Remember, we had a couple discussions about how City didn't have an out and out striker. Yeah, I still wouldn't consider Ronaldo an out and out striker.
I think Jesus might have done a little bit of a false nine.
Not an out and out. I don't think you stick him up as a number nine.
I think it was Ferran Torres. I think Ferran Torres might have been playing a little bit of striker.
Yeah.
Was Grealish there?
No, not yet.
He's not one of those guys either, though.
No,
I don't know. I think Ronaldo's he's shaped his game to be quite like less flash, more like I'm putting the ball into this net and I don't care how it's going to happen.
I think he could have absolutely thrived in a system built around him like that. But this is the thing, is the Pep system isn't going to mold around one player. One player has to mold into the Pep system.
Exactly. And especially that one player is not going to be 36.
Yeah. So would he have, maybe he would have been willing to do it if he saw that there was,
Sure.
A lot of push towards greatness and winning trophies and all that kind of stuff. That's all the stuff that he loves to do. So maybe he would have bought into it. But reading the guy's mind, I don't know.
Because you have two people, one managerial who like demands, like you hear players that have played underneath Pep who talk about how minutely micromanage Pep is.
Yep.
But the proof is in the pudding. I mean, he gets results. He is a serial winner. And it would have been interesting to see another serial winner on the field in the form of Ronaldo, how that would have gelled with someone like Pep. Would they have cohesively like morphed into this like power relationship, or like would those two people have, I'm curious who would have caved. It probably wouldn't have been Pep, but I'd be difficult seeing Ronaldo cave to something like that. And would it have just like they gone separate ways and failure to, you know, like make a bridge, or would they have, I do think Ronaldo would have. I think it's fun to speculate what could have happened with Ronaldo under Pep at that time. Yeah, he wasn't at his strongest, Ronaldo, but I still think at 36, coming off the bat of two pretty decent seasons, or three decent seasons at Juventus, I think that could have been. I think that could have been something. Interesting to see.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm looking at a few of the old Madrid managers really quickly. Just the ones that were there during this time, besides Pellegrini, who was there for 1 year at the beginning, I think. Mm-hmm. Mourinho, Ancelotti, disregarding Benitez for 1 year.
I was going to say you had Benitez in there.
And Zinedine Zidane. I don't really see a micromanager in there. The only one that really shines for me is Mourinho. But that was Ronaldo's not his peak, not even close. But like he was automatic. He was an automatic player every in the Champions League and for Portugal, in La Liga. I love Ancelotti. I know he's been at Madrid for a while. I love them. Well, I didn't really watch him at AC Milan, but I just know how good he did at AC Milan. But I don't see any manager that's like Pep there.
So no.
Those aren't very Pep-ish players.
Yeah. I less follow managers and like their playing styles and like in managerial styles and stuff like that. But I agree that like a Mourinho, a Zidane, they're very much man managers. They kind of keep the egos in balance, make sure everything is still a cohesive unit. And yes, of course they have tactics that they implement, but I think not to the degree that Pep has. It's either Pep's way or the highway. And I think Mourinho and Zidane can kind of somehow rein in the strongest of egos and keep everything still gelled and firing on all cylinders in some crazy, unexplainable way. And Pep is very much not like that. With Pep, it seems kind of like you hear you're there. And that's.
Remember him with Zlatan? Yeah, at Barcelona. That's the most glaring. Because everyone else he's brought in, it's like it's my way or the highway, and everyone's pretty much been like, "Yeah, that's cool." And you win your first trophy, and you're like, "Hey, bro, this is your show. Let's go." Yeah. I'll listen to whatever you say. So,
I wonder if Pep later, because that was Pep in 2010, and I mean, the Barca revolution had only started in 2008, so it was like 2 years into like quite a strong career. Could have been a blip or whatever, but I wonder if now that we obviously know that Pep is. He's okay. He's okay. He's all right.
He's nice with it.
Now that we know that he's nice with it, I'm curious if Zlatan's nice response would have been different at a later point in Pep's career. Like, had he had more established dominance of like, hey, this works. Would he have been like, okay, all right, we'll try it your way, or you know, less bullish? Speculative. Nobody can know the answer, but it's fun to think about.
Yeah. It's a lot of time.
Yeah. Well, I love the quote of what's like, it's like, I'm a Ferrari, but he used me like a Fiat or something. Like,
yeah.
Like.
Yeah, I heard that one.
Also, a cool jersey would have been, I think Zlatan was there during the UNICEF days. Or
Yes. Yep.
He's only there, what, like 2 years? And they had UNICEF for a long time.
I thought it was one season.
It was only one?
I thought it was 2000. It's either 2009, 2010, or 2010, 2011. I think it's 9-10.
I'm going to go 9-10.
I thought those kits were kind of ugly. They had that yellow trim around the collar and like.
No. I like that. Catalonian.
Big fan of it.
Both wrong. Well, no, you were right. Well, technically, 2009 to 2010, he was at Barcelona, went on loan to Milan, and then went to Milan permanently.
He never came back. Yeah.
No, he never came back. So yes, you were right.
I didn't know I didn't know that first little bit was a loan though.
I didn't know that loan happened either. I just remember when AC Milan signed, when PSG signed Thiago Silva and Ibra the same summer. I was like, that was the first almost kind of like money infused club that everyone was like, what's going on? And then they signed Beckham. That's wild.
Yeah.
Beckham for his 6 months when he played in PSG, he took every penny of his wages and donated it to, I forget what charity or for what, but he didn't take a dime of his wages when he's at PSG.
I feel like it went to UNICEF because he's a big UNICEF brand.
He's a UNICEF ambassador, yeah.
That's cool.
He's also a Qatar ambassador, so I don't really know.
Yeah, exactly.
I think also UNICEF has a few times been in the news about some. I feel like every charity and nonprofit that's like on the world stage is like, oh wow, fine, of misappropriation of funds. Like, okay, it's always happened once. So
yeah.
We're not counting.
Do you guys see Bruce Arena MLS coverage? Here we go. Bruce Arena has been let go after being investigated for allegations of inappropriate and insensitive remarks that they never said what they were. And then the Revs players. New England Revolution for the unlearned don't trust the interim head coach Richie Williams, according to the reporting by The Athletic today. So they didn't show up for training. They just didn't show up.
What are they like? I wouldn't do a trust fall with that guy. I kind of don't trust. Or like, yeah. What's it mean?
Yeah. They're like, hey, you guys remember France 2010?
Oh my God! If they
do that, we ain't showing up. No, we ain't showing up. Let's do that.
That's pretty much what they did, though. God, what a walk! Good Lord.
We're staying on the bus. We're not coming. We're not coming off the bus.
We're not going.
And
also, small little nugget. You guys play Football Manager. If you don't, doesn't matter. Football Manager 2024 is coming out in the end of November. I know a lot of people are excited about that.
I have really badly wanted to play that, but I see clips of like the simmed matches and it looks like atrocious, which is fine because that's not the main beef of the game. But like, I feel like I would love it, but also I just don't have, I don't know.
Dude, every manager moment maybe I got the time. Simulation games, whether it's PES or FIFA or whatever, I sim most of the games anyway, because I'm not really interested in I'm more interested in like the writing the story versus playing out the games, which is what Football Manager is about. It's about writing the story.
Yeah, Steve would be a big Football Manager guy. We all need copies.
Is Football Manager only for PC, though, not for console?
I think it's – no. I think that it may be on Xbox because of the Microsoft connection, I think.
Mm. If only they had it on PlayStation.
Sega announced that Football Manager 2024 will be out on PC, Mac, Nintendo Switch, PS5, Xbox X, S, and on smartphones.
Wow.
On the 6th of November.
Second question, which is a very detailed question. So don't expect anybody to have the answer. Can you upload images? Like, could you upload a kit image? Like, if you wanted to have a certain kit, or like your team to have a kit, or like a badge, like your team's badge. Can you upload those images, like you can in Pro Evolution? Can't do it in FIFA. Used to be able to. Can't anymore. Don't know why.
When could you do that in FIFA?
Like 2015 and prior. Used to be able to upload images. You could upload MP3s so that your home stadium would play certain crowd chants. And you could just upload songs.
Man, what console?
Dude, that was on my PS3. at the time.
I want him to sing "You'll Never Walk Alone" at Old Trafford.
You could do that. You could have made that happen. But then, and then those custom ability aspects, they just took out of the game.
Yeah.
And then they focused on Ultimate Team.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Okay.
Which was the cash cow.
It is.
Steve, anything going on in the old Scotland?
They lost today.
Yeah,
3-1. Jude Bellingham really just seems like he's destined for the stars, that kid. Scoring a goal, putting in a pretty convincing
great Scott. That sounded like it was pre-recorded, honestly. Was it?
Did you just do that?
No.
Me or him?
That was beautiful. It sounded like it was literally sounded like it was pre-recorded. That was very nice.
That was live, baby.
Hats off.
yeah, 150th. No, is that right? 150th year anniversary
of yeah, of this old clash between two bitter rivals, just two neighbors. At the beginning of the match, the God Save the King was drowned out by booze. So
exactly.
Sounds about right.
Played at Hampden Park in Scotland. England win 3-1. Goals by Bellingham, Maguire, Kane.
Yeah, Maguire own goal.
I feel bad for that guy. I really just do. I really don't feel bad.
He's paid an insane amount of money, Steve.
Gets a lot of abuse that I don't think a lot of people deserve, but
Harry Maguire.
But it was Kane,
Bellingham.
Sorry,
Bellingham. Yeah, and I don't know who the first one was. Bellingham was second goal, right?
I read it. Yeah, I read it early. I can't remember who it was. It wasn't Sturridge.
Phil Foden.
Yes, it was. It was Phil Foden. Yep.
Yeah.
Sounds like it was a pretty convincing, pretty comfortable win for England. Doesn't really seem like they ever had to try too hard to.
They even scored for the other team.
Yeah, Scotland didn't have a shot on goal for the first 45 minutes. But the kits, though, those Scotland kits.
I know.
USA scored.
Nice.
Oh, man.
Balogun.
Oh, man.
Balogun. I know, but this is the Oman Classic. We're in the Oman Classic. We're going to let the trophy after this one.
This is
quality. There really a trophy?
No.
Oh, I was like, dude. No.
Oh, dude. Man. That would have been
it's good. Not like that one trophy Spurs wins once a year in their Asia tour when they beat beat Kojima Antlers in Japan and they get the list of trophies.
But all right, it is trash 9 takes. O'clock, boys and girls.
You got trash takes real quick before you leave us?
Sure, yeah. Let's do a trash take real quick. Let me
The Premier League returns this weekend, and so does the Premiership up in Scotland. So we'll go from Saturday, September 16th, starting with Wolves and Liverpool, 7:30 in the morning. Good luck to you, Nate. Going through Monday, September the 18th, with Nottingham Forest and Burnley.
Got it. Luton beat Fulham. They have to win sometime.
Luton beating Fulham? Hold on, let me write this in the ledger.
Is that an away game for Luton there, Steve?
It is.
You're a big Luton guy, man.
Dude, for some
big time Luton.
Big time Luton. Yeah. I really saw Luton doing something this season. Obviously, it might be just getting off to a slow start. It might not happen at all. But I really want to see something besides just the presence of being in the Premier League. I want to see something that they can be like, you know, look back on. So let's throw in a couple wins. They can beat Fulham. I believe in it.
All right. Yeah, I'm just gonna go.
Or I can do you one spicier than that. West Ham tie City.
I was looking at that, Steve. You already picked, dude.
You already picked. Already have mine locked in.
Say it, so I give you more time.
Brighton's gonna beat Man U.
I thought about that one.
Yeah, go to hell, Ben. I'm gonna go West Ham to beat City.
West Ham to beat City.
No matter where David Moyes finishes, it buys him another year. So
yeah,
yeah.
He won a European Cup and he beat City in 6 months.
Hey,
time. He's good. 6 points.
All right, let's see if mine actually comes true this year or this week, this year. Christ,
this year. Yeah. This year, if any of them come true
for Christmas.
Yeah.
What? All right. We'll catch you. Oh man.
See you guys there. Ricardo. Ricardo. Ricardo.